we have gathered for the most auspicious occasion of Sarad Purnima and the beginning of the month of Kartik. The month of Kartik is also known as the month of Damodar. We just sang the Damodar Astakam and offered lamp to Lord Damodar. It is also one of the regulated principles or recommended activities for the month. Srila Prabhupada has explained that the month of Damodar is like a sail in a store. In a sail, you pay a reduced price and you can get a very valuable commodity worth more than what you pay for it. So, similarly, in the month of Damodar, with a small effort in devotional practices, one gets a great result. So it's really an opportunity of which we should avail ourselves. It comes only once in a year. And devotees who perform Damodar Vrat actually feel the result. The word Vrat means vow, and generally in the month of Damodar, devotees vow to increase their spiritual practices in some way and decrease their sense gratification in some way. An example of a positive vow would be, to chant so many rounds during the month of Damodar, to read a specific amount every day, to recite some specific prayers every day. And examples of things that one would want to make a special effort to avoid could be finding fault with devotees, or engaging in sort of idle, useless talks, or sleeping past a certain hour in the morning, whatever area one feels one needs to work on for one's spiritual benefit, one can take the opportunity and make that special effort in the month of Damodar. And one gets help from the month itself. Just as during the day, the day is divided into muhurtas, or different divisions of time. And in the day, the Brahma muhurta, which begins 1 hour and 32 minutes before sunrise and continues until sunrise, is considered the most auspicious for spiritual practices. Therefore, in all of our temples, Srila Prabhupada established Mangalarti at 4:30 in the morning, which would roughly be an hour and a half before sunrise, so that the devotees could take advantage of that auspicious time. And even in other traditions, practitioners understand that the early hours are special. In Bombay, I had some friends who were Ahmadiyya Muslims, and they would visit the Juhu temple and spend time there. And they said that according to their tradition, the prayers that you offer to Allah before sunrise are heard more attentively than prayers that you offer later in the day. So that's a good beginning to rise before sunrise. And chant one's rounds, all the things that are part of the process of the development of Krishna consciousness. This specific injunction to recite the Damodarastakam and offer rounds can be done in the morning or in the evening. Many temples now, you do it both morning and evening. One gets so many boons. One can get so many boons just by offering plants to Damodara and reciting Damodara Astakam. But as we read in the prayer, the only boon that a devotee really wants is the boon of always remembering Krishna and engaging in Krishna's service with pure love. He doesn't want material opulence or even liberation. But he wants only pure loving service to Krishna in Vrindavan. So even though we may not be on that platform of purity, by reciting these prayers by great devotees in the mood of wanting to develop their mood of devotion, we can develop the same mood. It may be inconceivable to our rational faculties how it happens, but it works. Recently we were at a japa retreat with His Holiness Satchinandan Swami in Philadelphia. And he mentioned how he was, let's say, disturbed by a particular unwanted desire or anartha. And he began to recite five verses from the Sanat Kumar Samhita. And just by reciting those five verses every day, that anartha, which he had struggled with for so many years, went away. In a little different way, but just to illustrate how small things can bring big results. Yesterday we met our god sister Kaushalya Dasi in Los Angeles, and Kaushalya and her husband were in the entertainment industry. They've made some feature films that were broadcast on network television, and they had many credits. But I mean, the industry is such, and life is such, that things don't always go the way you hope, to say the least. And but the thing is that when things go well, we tend to think that we are in control, and we try to maintain the false position of being in control for as long as we can. And that vain effort to be the controller leads to a lot of suffering. Leads to a lot of suffering. So Kaushalya and her husband went through a period in which things were not going the way they wanted. But, you know, she, as she described it, she was still in the mood of, you know, controlling and making things happen the way she wanted, and so on. And in the midst of that, they decided, we need to get away for a while. So they took a boat, I guess a cruise, you could say, and on a cruise boat that went from Los Angeles to Vancouver. And they sort of had an idea they'd like to see Vancouver anyway. And just get away from it all, get some of that fresh sea air, and just calm down. And it's a little long introduction, but we're getting there. So every night on the cruise, the staff would come in and, like, turn the blankets back on the bed and make everything ready for sleep. And they would put a heart-shaped candy on the pillow. So one night, you know, she just reached her limit. You know, she said, you know, I can't go on like this. You know, trying to be the controller and suffering so much. So she took that heart and went out onto the deck of the ship. And she prayed to Krishna. And she said, Krishna, I'm surrendering my heart to you. And you take over. You know, whatever you do, I will accept. And she's, you know, just as I'm casting this heart into the ocean, I'm surrendering my heart to you. Now I'm yours, and you do with me as you like. And even though that was many years ago, whenever that sort of controlling tendency becomes prominent, maybe you're the controller and Krishna sort of recedes into the background, she remembers that. I've given my heart to Krishna, I've surrendered my heart to Krishna. He's in charge. And, you know, whatever he does is fine. And she feels much more peaceful ever since then, just from that act. Well, it was a combination of an action and, I guess, an internal act of surrender and an external action of, you know, solidifying it. So these things can happen if we make that the effort, especially in the month of Kartika. The specific pastime of Damodar actually took place later in the month. Srila Sanatana Goswami said that it took place on the Deepavali day, which is the new moon in the month. But in brief, and it was mentioned in the Damodara Astakam, in brief, baby Krishna was, Mother Yasoda was suckling baby Krishna, but she had left some milk on the fire, and the milk was about to boil over. So she set baby Krishna aside before he was satisfied and went to tend to the milk on the fire. Baby Krishna, this is all a pastime or a lila, but baby Krishna became angry that she had left him before he was satisfied, and in his mood of frustration, he broke some pots of butter that were hanging from rafters and began to eat the butter. And eventually he was sharing the butter with his monkey friends. And it's also said that in his appearance as Lord Ramachandra, the Lord was greatly assisted by the monkeys in his fight with Ravana. And so when he came as Krishna, he could say, reciprocated all the help they gave to him by personally feeding them from his own hand. So, anyway, Mother Yasoda returned to the site where she had left Krishna, and she saw he wasn't there. But and she saw that the butter pot had been broken, and she saw that there were footprints, because Krishna got butter on his lotus feet, on the soles of his lotus feet, so there were footprints left by his buttery feet. And eventually she found him, you know, like it's described, he was very fearful. He was like, he knew he had done something wrong, so he was looking here and there, very nervous that his mother might come and catch him. And then she saw him, and he got up and began to run away. And she tried to catch him, but he was running faster than she was. But because of her intense maternal affection and her hard labor, he allowed himself to be caught by her. Pastime is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that great yogis try to capture Krishna, but they cannot capture him. He remains beyond their grasp. But he allowed himself to be captured by Mother Yasoda. And then she wanted to bind him with ropes because she was afraid that he would get into more mischief if he was allowed to run free. And she attempted to bind him around his belly. And which she does every morning. Every morning she dresses Krishna and she ties a belt around his waist. But this time, the rope didn't fit. It was like two fingers too short. So, that was odd. But she got some more rope and added it, and the rope was still two fingers too short. She got more rope, and you know they were part of the cowherd community. They had a lot of rope for binding cows, and so she gathered together all of her rope. It was still too short. She had her neighbors bring their ropes. It was still too short. She probably had miles of rope, and it was still too short. And then her friends began to tell her that you're not going to be able to do this. Now, you've already gathered together so much rope. No matter how much rope you gather, it's still too short. You're not going to be able to do this. You should just leave it. Now, just forget it. But out of her maternal care and concern for her son, she just would not give up. She was just determined that if I don't tie him, he could engage in more mischief. He could cause harm to himself or harm to others. She just would not give up. And when Krishna saw her hard labor, tireless efforts, his heart softened and he allowed her to bind him. But not exactly with her ropes, but with her love. And our learned devotee commentators, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and others, they explain that in order to bind Krishna, two elements are required. One is parishram, which means hard labor or endeavor, and the other is Krishna kripa, the mercy of Krishna. And by the combination of our strenuous endeavors and Krishna's mercy, Krishna can be bound by our love. He wants to be. Wants to be. But we have to make the effort. He's not so cheap that, okay, Krishna, come now. But when we make that effort, knowing that it's not by our effort alone that we will be successful, but it's by His mercy that we will be successful. He allows Himself to be bound. There is a story in the book called The Journey Home by His Holiness Radhanath Swami. He was staying with Ramesh Baba in Varshana on the top of a hill, and there was a tiger, some, you know, ferocious man-eating beast on the prowl in the area. And back then, Vrindavan was more of a forest. Now it's really become built up. But it was more of a forest then, and this hill where Ramesh Baba stayed was pretty secluded, and there wasn't much help you could get from anywhere. So Radhanath Swami asked Ramesh Baba, what are you going to do about the tiger? You're totally unprotected, you have no shelter whatsoever. And Ramesh Baba picked up a stick. Said, I have this stick. And Radhanath Swami said, what is that stick going to do against a tiger? I mean, if a tiger wants to pounce on you, the tiger smells your flesh and wants to pounce on you and devour you, what is that stick going to do? He said, I know the stick cannot protect us. Only Krishna can protect us. But I have to make some effort. If I make no effort at all, I can't expect Krishna to protect me. So I'm showing that I'm making some effort. But I know ultimately it's not my effort that's going to protect us, but it's Krishna. So whatever effort we can make, big or small, especially in this month, we should do it and pray for the mercy of our parampara and our deities, ultimately as Krishna, Shrimati Radharani, and feel the results. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions or comments?
I have a question. As you probably know, from just mundane logic, you know, if you add a piece of rope to a rope, you can go around the person once, and then it may be 2 inches, two fingers short. But before that happens, you can just tie it up. Is that amazing how that happened? It shrank. Everything was still the same original size after adding so much rope.
That is a very good question. Well, there are two variables, the length of the rope and the size of Krishna's belly. And it's not stated explicitly whether Krishna made the rope short or his belly bigger, but that is a good question that some scholar could investigate.